Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome, beautiful people. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Monday's edition of Ask the Pastor, and we're live around the country and around the world through our global broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and syndicated on radio stations. And thank you for tuning in to our flagship station, AM 1160 in Chicago, AM 1160. And it is Hope for Your Life, and we're blessed to be a part of this radio network and to be on the air around the country and around the world through our global broadcast. And if you've got questions, come on in. If you got a question about whatever's happening in your life, please know that your question calling in is so courageous, because whatever you're going through, there's thousands of others going through it as well. So when you call, you're helping so many people potentially to go through and get through whatever you're going through. So call with your questions today. Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow, 847-645-1355. 847-645-1355. And let's talk to Carolyn in Richmond, Virginia. Carolyn, welcome to Ask the Pastor today.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Hi, doing great.
Hi.
Thank you.
Wonderful. My question is, in the Bible, God always says, do whatever I say. In so many words, do what I say. And I've always had this discomfort with, and I think I've probably been taught this in the religion, you know, older people, that whatever it is God tells you to do is going to be at your expense. Whatever it is God tells you to do is going to be what you don't want to do. Whatever it is God tells you to do is going to be for you to not do the things in life that you want with your life, like throw away your dreams and whatever
right.
it is that makes you happy, you won't be able to do it because God wants you to do, you know, whatever it is he says, as, I don't know, even either as a test or just because that's what he wants you to do. It's going to be something where you're not going to be happy, where you cannot fulfill your dreams, or you're not supposed to do, you know, fulfill your goals or the things in life. How do you resolve those issues, and what's the correct way to think, because I don't want to feel discomfort and fear. And
no, that's an incredible question, and so well stated and well put. And the truth is that that is such a lie that religion has created about God, that he's always going to ask us to do something we don't want to do. He's going to make us marry somebody that we hate. He's going to make us, you know, go to live in some foreign nation that he's going to call us to Afghanistan, because he's going to just make us suffer. He's going to make us do everything that we don't want to do to prove that he's God and that we're not. No, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible puts the right desires in our heart. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, God will give you the desires of your heart. He will place the right desires in your heart, and then he will fulfill the desires in your heart. Says in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 that we'll dream dreams, that we'll see visions, that we'll prophesy. And, you know, the Bible talks about God is able, Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. You know, it says the good plans that God has for us in Jeremiah 29:11, that God has good plans for our lives. I mean, you don't have to dig very deep in the Bible to realize that religion has lied to us. Religion telling us that God is going to, you know, make you suffer and make you do things that you don't want to do is a lie, and it's from the pit of hell. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that life is always easy and there's never tribulation and there's never trouble and there's never challenges. There are. Jesus said, but in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome this world. So whatever trouble you face, God has given us the victory over it. So the defeated, kind of, whimpering life of a person that has to go and just be the slave of God, who has to just do whatever God tells us, and he's always going to tell us to do the thing that is bad, you know, that robs us of all fun and joy and excitement and dreams. That is not the God of the Bible. God is not like that. He fills our hearts with good things. He puts dreams and imagination in our minds. He puts goals and visions and dreams in our hearts, and he wants us to believe him to fulfill those dreams, to reach the world, to help hurting people, to come up with ideas and creative inventions. And are you starting to get a feel for where we're going with this?
Yes.
I hope you're liberated by what you're hearing, because all that other junk is just junk. It's just religion. It's just man's, you know, efforts to try to prove how holy he is, how holy we are as people, rather than and have this idea that God's holiness means that he will always have us do the very thing we don't want to do, so that we'll never be happy and we'll always have to rely on him. And God wants us to always rely on him, but we can still be happy in the process. And he's not going to make us do things that are against our heart, that are just the opposite of what our desires and dreams are. Now, if your desires are to hurt people, then yeah, God's going to ask you to do the opposite of that. If your desire is to, you know, is to just destroy your life, then yeah, God is going to ask you to do the opposite of that. But if your desire is to help build a orphanage in Zimbabwe, and that's what's in your heart, then do it. Or if your heart is to be a dancer in America, go for it, because God can use any desire that he's placed in your heart, or any desire that's in your heart, to bring about his glory if you truly live for the glory of God, whether you're a football player, whether you're a ballerina, whether you're a missionary. Everything we do should be for the glory of God, and that God will use us when we live for his glory.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I'm actually breathing several sighs of relief at hearing the word.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know what? You ask God to put the desires in your heart. He said he will do it. He'll put the desires in your heart. In another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what hasn't yet entered into the heart of man, all the great things that God has prepared for those that love him. He does not have some weird plan that's going to, you know, that's going to just stuff down all your happiness. He's got an amazing plan that is going to ignite your happiness and ignite your joy. And I'm really glad you called, Carolyn. Great to hear from you. And hope that ministers to you and ministers to all of our listeners. Let's talk to Vonnie in California. Vonnie, welcome to Ask the Pastor. Thanks for calling today.
Yes, thank you. I got three issues. One, blind people like me cannot see the number on the screen, and it only takes 4 seconds longer to recite the number than to say, call the number on the screen. And also, I can't call information to get your number because I don't know what city and state you're in. So us blind people have no way to contact you. Okay?
Wow. Well, thank
so
you for
if you say
thank
the
you
number
for letting me know that.
Then blind people can write it down and call.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And there's a lot more blind people than you would realize. I didn't know until I went to the Braille Institute. And there's a couple thousand at the Braille Institute that I go to, and there's Braille Institutes all over the United States.
Yeah, right on.
And some are vision impaired, but that means that basically they still can't see, like, details on the screen.
Sure, that's
anyway,
right.
Second issue. I want to compliment you because I've been going to church since I was 6 years old, reading the Bible, going to Bible studies. But what I really, really, really appreciate about your sermons is that you go through the scripture, and then you explain how to apply it in our daily lives. And that's what
Amen.
We need to know, and I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, Vonnie. Thank you
One
for sharing
more issue.
That. Yeah.
I have a family full of addicts and alcoholics. And I was talking to a nephew recently, and he said he sings over, and he said, "I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself." I said, "Okay, if the God of the universe can forgive you, who are you not to forgive yourself?"
That's
but
right.
I would like to know, I understand that you maybe had a problem with drugs at one time. Is that correct?
Yes, I was addicted. Yes, I was addicted to alcohol and to drugs, and I had to learn to forgive myself.
So you understand, but
yeah.
I'd like to make a suggestion, and maybe you've done this in the past because I just found you on the TV recently, but if you could maybe go through the Bible and explain to some of these people how to forgive yourself, how to get over the guilt, because my
yeah.
husband was in AA sober 43 years when he died, and I used to listen to him talk to all the new people that he helped, and he'd stress that every time. Excuse the expression, but he'd say, "Screw guilt." And
yeah.
he would explain, you have to let go of the guilt or you can't stay sober, because they'll see something or see somebody that reminds them of something horrible they've done, and they can't live with the guilt except to use something.
Yeah, that's good. Well, first of all, we're going to check on our TV show so that we can see if we can add some audio to whatever
yeah.
is on the screen. So we'll take care of that. So Deshaun's going to check
okay.
on that. And then the other issue is with you mentioned the forgiving yourself. Yes, we have some teaching on that. And we do a whole series on forgiveness. And part of our series on forgiveness is forgiving yourself, because you really, you know, the reason why God forgives us is not because we're so good now or we've changed or we're so sorry. The reason why God forgives us is because the blood of Jesus was shed for us. So in the same way
yes.
that Jesus shed his blood for us in order for God to forgive us, then Jesus
yes.
also shed his blood for us in order for us to forgive ourselves. So I don't forgive myself because I feel better. I don't forgive myself because I did better. I forgive myself because the blood of Jesus was shed for me. And by the same blood that God forgives me, it's the same blood that I can forgive me. And so so I hope that that makes sense. And you're right on the money with that,
that's
Bonnie.
That's a very good
and,
point.
Yeah, you're right on target with that. And I'm really glad you called. Thanks for the encouraging words as well. Thanks for letting us know about the situation to make our TV show better, to help people that are vision impaired or blind. That's an awesome point, and we're going to reach more people because of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Vonnie. And we just pray for the restoration of your sight and the restoration of your healing and the restoration of God's vision for your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for calling and being a part of today's show. You're listening live, folks, to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. It's Monday. We're live, taking your questions, taking your calls, 847-645-1355. And let's talk to Chandra in Brooklyn, New York. Chandra, great to hear from you.
Hello, Pastor Dickow.
Hi there.
It's great to hear from you, too.
Thank you.
I had asked you a question recently about Isaiah 40:31 because I feel God used that in my life, like, supernaturally. Like, he would show me it. And I just want to know, does it mean you're going to soar in life when you have to wait for God, or?
That those that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think it definitely means we're going to soar in life. It's that's what we're called to do. You know, the Christian life, Chandra, is progressive. You know, he says we're going to walk and not faint. He said we're going to run and not grow weary. He said we're going to mount up with wings as eagles and soar. So there are seasons where we don't feel like flying and we're just kind of low to the ground. What do we do in those seasons? Walk.
I feel like I'm in that season.
Yeah.
Because
what do you do
in, I'm waiting
what do you
on
do
the
in
Lord.
The, okay, but here's the thing. What do you do in those seasons when you can't seem to fly? You walk. Walk and don't
mm-hmm.
walk and not faint. You run and not grow weary. You know, nobody can maintain the same pace every day, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year, all of that. What we do is we have to learn to pace ourselves. So Sometimes I walk and I just keep one foot in front of the other. Sometimes I'm running because there's progress and there's a lot to be done and I need to get it done fast. And sometimes I'm soaring and I'm flying because there's just this added burst of energy and excitement and passion. But when I don't feel that, it's okay to keep walking. The key is I'm either walking, running, or I'm flying, but I'm not going backwards and I'm not giving up. So when you don't feel like that energy to fly, then you just walk. You know, it's like with exercise. If a person would just start walking, maybe they're not running the marathon yet, but they can at least start walking on a treadmill. They can at least, you know, maybe they're not running 10 miles an hour for 30 minutes, but they can at least, you know, maybe run 4 miles an hour, 3 miles an hour, and just do a light jog. Mm-hmm. So just do what you can do for right now, and it's progressive, and then you'll keep growing, and you keep growing. And how does that happen? As we wait upon the Lord, that word wait, it means to exchange strengths with God, to have an exchange of strength. I'm trading my strength for God's strength. So I'm saying, God, here's my strength. I can't do much in my strength, but I ask for your strength, and I receive it now in Jesus' name. Hey, I hope that helps, Chandra. Really great to hear from you, and I'm really glad you called. You're listening live to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow, 847-645-1355. And the number is always open for your call and your question. If for some reason you don't get through, leave your name and number on our system, and we will call you back and set up a one-on-one appointment between me and you on one of our Ask the Pastor broadcasts. We have a few minutes left on the show. I'm going to keep going to our phone lines and talk to Teresa in Southfield, Michigan. Teresa, welcome to Ask the Pastor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I was calling because I need to get a better understanding on faith. I know that faith without works is dead, but how do you know when your works turn into you relying on self?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's pretty simple, though, of an answer, and that is there's no works that can save us. There's no works that can make us holy. There's no works that can get God to love us more. There's no works that can get God to answer our prayers better or faster. So faith works with grace. Faith works with the grace of God to receive from God. But then when you talk about faith without works is dead, that means that when we really truly believe, when we're really living in faith, it's going to cause us to produce good works. The good works don't produce faith, but the faith produces good works. So when I believe God's love for me, when I believe God's promises in my life, when I believe God will provide for me, then it produces a good work of me giving. Like if I believe God's going to meet all my needs, then guess what? My faith that God will provide is going to produce a good work of giving and generosity in my life. But my giving and generosity doesn't save me. It doesn't make God love me more. It doesn't make God happy with me more. But my giving is the overflow of my faith in God's provision for my life. But my giving doesn't earn me God's provision for my life. My giving is not, my works do not earn me something from God. Faith earns me something from God. Faith is where I connect with God. And then out of the overflow, the faith I have that God will provide for me, for example, will cause me to be generous and give to others. So that's how faith produces good works. Good works cannot produce salvation. Good works cannot produce God's love. Good works cannot get God to make you to be pleased with you. Good works do not make us right with God. But when you know you're right with God, you end up doing good works. When you know you're right with God, you end up doing kind things to others. When you know you're right with God, you end up producing good actions. Good actions flow out of faith in what Jesus has done for us. So I hope that makes sense, Teresa, and helps answer that.
Yeah, it just threw me in a completely different ball game. Because, I mean, that makes... but, yeah, that just threw me in a completely different ball game. And I don't quite know what to do with that one.
Okay, well, you pray and meditate on that. But here's what you don't have to do. You don't have to perform efforts in order to be right with God or to be pleasing to God. And your faith is very simple. It simply means to believe what God says. And if you really believe what God says, it will lead you to action. If I really believe God will take care of me, then I'm not going to need to steal from other people, because it will produce the action of honesty towards others and respect towards other people's things. I won't steal from them, not because I'm trying to please God. I won't steal from them, not because God will judge me. I'm not going to steal from them because I trust God to provide, and I know that God will take care of me. And so faith causes good actions, but good actions don't cause.
Okay, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Okay, I got to run. I hope you can run with that, Teresa. And God bless you. And go Pistons and all that's in Southfield, Michigan. God bless you. You're listening live, folks, to Ask the Pastor. We got 1 minute before we are off the air today. But I will say to you, God loves you, and He's for you. And if you're struggling today, go to God. Look to God. Bless God, worship God, praise Him, thank Him for what He's done in your life. Thank Him for what He's already done. Don't worry about what hasn't happened in your life. Focus on what He has done in your life, and great things will happen. More great things will happen. Hey, help us stay on the air and be on the air with your gifts of support. Your gift of any amount today will bless people and change lives and keep us ministering on the Ask the Pastor radio broadcast. For a gift of any amount, go to call our toll-free number and plant a seed, $25, $50. It'll go a long way to help souls. Call 800-761-9521, 800-761-9521. And with your gift of any amount, I'm going to send you my teaching series, Your Season of Restoration. If you want anything restored in your life, this will show you how it works. But plant a seed today and give into the kingdom. Call 800-761-9521. I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow.